Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Burgess Hill.
So last week we were looking at the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I just want to do a little recap just to refresh us and for anybody that wasn't here. So we were looking at the baptism in the Holy Spirit and how we can expect God to fill us and to refill us with his Spirit. And this is so important. If you've been around the block a few times, don't forget that we're called to be continually filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says that. Be continually filled with the Spirit. And the sense of this verse, the way it's written, it says that we should, one, expect to be filled with God's Spirit. Two, ask God to continually fill us with his Spirit. And three, allow God to fill us over and over. You know, God is such a gentleman that he always requires our permission and our cooperation. Always. Even where we've given him permission before, we still need to present ourselves to him, to God, to be filled. So expect to be continually filled with the Spirit. Please don't settle for less than that. Don't settle for what happened in the past. But be continually filled with God's Spirit. Expect it. Draw close to God. Expect him to do that. So what does it feel like to be filled with the Spirit? What does that feel like? Acts 13:52 says, and the disciples were filled with joy.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit. Joy. That's what he feels like.
Yeah.
Because he's the God of all joy.
Yeah, that's
so right. When he fills you up, expect joy to overflow through you. Expect it. So what does he do for us when he fills us with his Spirit? Galatians 4:5 to 7 says this. This is just beautiful. Because you are his sons and daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into your heart, Sharon. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you, sorry, I'm pinching somebody else's verse here. I'm so sorry. I won't pinch anymore. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, it says, God has made you also an heir. Now, this word Abba, it means daddy. So it's intimate. But you just need to add to that little sense of daddy, just a little pinch of wonder and a little pinch of respect. And then you've got what Abba means. Daddy. Daddy. Imagine a small child filled with wonder, tugging at your arm. Daddy, daddy. That's the sense that it gives. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to draw you into a deeper relationship with God, your Father, who chose you before the foundation of this earth, before you were formed in your mother's womb, Michael. He chose you. He loved you. He put you on this earth for a purpose. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to draw you closer into relationship with your Father and to point out to you, you are also an heir. You inherit everything Christ had for you. So his work is to draw you into that relationship and draw you into that inheritance you have in Christ. In the same way as we shouldn't settle for only being filled with the Spirit once, and if there's anybody in this room who has yet to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is your birthright. Be like Jacob, hold on to God and say, I will not let you go until you bless me. Seriously. And if you're a bit dry now, it's your birthright to continually be filled.
Yeah,
so continue to hold on to him. Continue to say, God, come on, you are good. You are my daddy. I love you. You're my father and you love to pour out good things to me. No, I'm not going to pinch this next verse. Who's got John 1:12, please? Excellent.
Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God.
Amen.
Fantastic. Listen, get feisty. We were crying out freedom earlier, right? Amen. Cry freedom. God has given you a right.
Amen.
Nobody can take it away from you. You are his child. That's your birthright. Nobody can take it away from you. But listen, don't be like Esau, who despised his birthright, didn't value it, and tossed it away. We have to really cling on to our birthright, and we have to be like Jacob and wrestle with God for it. I will not let you go unless you bless me. So the Holy Spirit draws us into a deeper, more intimate relationship with God our Father and a closer walk with him. And that walk simply means how we walk through our lives. It's our day-to-day progression throughout our lives. Now, God is love. I'm still on the recap here. Bear with me. God is love. Isn't he? God is love.
Amen.
And we're able to experience and enjoy, and joy is crucial. And I thank you for releasing that into the room today, Andrea. Amen. We're able to enjoy and be filled with his love now and for all eternity. It's not pie in the sky when you die.
Mm.
We need to know his joy now. It's your birthright to know his joy. His joy comes from the Holy Spirit. Who fills you with himself until you overflow with himself. He is a God of love, and he is a God of joy, and he is a God of hope, and a God of many other things. And we'll touch on some of those. All of that is going to be poured into you to be poured out through you to others. So, of course, we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course we do. Of course it wasn't a one-off. Thank you, Jesus. So keep expecting him to fill you, drawing close to him to fill you, presenting yourself to him to fill you, and letting him fill you. There's still a continual sense of call and response with God, call and response with him. So that's our little recap, okay? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't run on my flesh. My flesh stinks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'm not alone, but I'm not going to point the finger at anybody else in this room. But my flesh stinks. Some of the things my flesh reeks of, and I'm not going to go into detail, fearfulness, anxiety, self-pity, all kinds of nonsense. I can't live off that. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I need him in my life. So we're talking about the voice of the Holy Spirit today. So let's get on to the issue of the day. Here's a question for you. And I just, before I give the question, I want to declare that from today, you will hear God's voice more clearly.
Amen.
You will hear his voice more clearly. And you'll also realize you have been hearing his voice, but overlooking him.
Yeah.
Okay, there's going to be a change from today.
Thank you.
So when God speaks to you, who's doing the talking? Is it the Father? Is it the Son? Or is it the Holy Spirit? What do you think, from your experience, whose voice are you hearing?
Holy Spirit.
You, Holy Spirit, Andy's clear about that? Others?
I'd say Jesus through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, don't worry about being theologically. Holy Spirit, Jesus.
The Father.
The Father. Okay.
Three.
The which?
All three.
Three. Hopefully not at the same time, because you'd never be able to concentrate.
They'd be in unity, though.
They would, that's true. That's absolutely right. Okay, so... So some of us are saying Father, some of us are saying Son, some of us are saying Holy Spirit.
Mm.
What's the difference between their voices? What's the difference? See, if we're going to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit, we need to be clear who we're listening to. What's the difference between their voices?
Well,
Well, they all work together in the same way.
Yeah.
It says, my sheep hear my voice, so I presume that's...
Of course, that's Jesus saying that.
Yeah, so... Mm. Yeah, so we... Yeah, faith comes by hearing, so...
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit's... Well, God's always talking to us, it's just whether we're listening or not.
Sure, but I'm asking, what is the difference between the voice of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? And we're all mature Christians, and we're all going, I'm not really sure about that.
God's voice, Father's voice is a bit deeper.
Father's voice is a bit deeper. I love it, Fred. I love it. Okay.
Like
Fred says a father's voice is a bit deeper.
Barry.
Like Barry White.
I'd just say that I hear the Father's voice like I would hear your voice, and I hear Jesus' voice like I would hear Andrea's voice.
Okay.
It's like somebody else's voice. So the three are very
distinct. That's very interesting, Richard.
They've all got their own voice.
Oh, that's very interesting. That's very interesting. So can you, can anybody in the room describe any time when it was the Holy Spirit who spoke to you? And you know it was the Holy Spirit.
A lot of times it's after the situation has finished, I realise, oh yeah, that was the Holy Spirit speaking.
Okay.
I haven't taken any notice.
20/20 hindsight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sharon.
I woke up in the morning and going to one home. And I've heard somebody say, you know, the Holy Spirit say, this home, I have to go the opposite way. Mm-hmm. I go to the opposite home and find there's no admin there. Mm-hmm. And she'll say, they haven't turned up for work.
Wow.
You are in the right place at the right time.
Oh,
so I know that one.
Yeah.
But I've also heard the dark, deeper voice
mm-hmm.
when he's told me, don't you trust me?
Okay.
And, you know, that is more of a, don't you trust me? And I'd say that that was a father.
Okay.
But he used the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, I think for me it's the father, because he's a father, the father affirms, the father corrects, the father says, oh, well done. That's the kind of the sense of the father affirming and speaking. But for me, it's when I feel like, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. It's a bit more, we're doing this together. We're like, you know, if you play tennis with someone or if you're in a gym together, it's like, come on, you can lift that or you can do that. That's not necessarily the Father. Well, I feel like that's not the Father being in there with me. It's the Father saying, okay, Holy Spirit, you too, you can do this. It's like this co-working partnership. That's kind of,
That's
when you're
interesting.
In the situation.
I think with the Holy Spirit, it's a very subtle voice, very, very... but it's still small voice of calm, is you have to be listening. You can let the world drown out his voice very easily if you're not consciously trying to listen to his voice. It's very easy to let the world make too much noise so you can't hear it.
Well, has anybody heard the audible voice of God in this room with your ears? Anne, can you tell us about it?
Yeah, just once. It was my calling to do psychiatry.
Right.
So I always knew I wanted to be a doctor, and I trained and qualified and did house jobs. And I thought I'd be a GP because everyone was being GP. And I tried GP rotations, didn't get anywhere, and someone said, oh, you need to get a job. So I got a job in A&E. I was in A&E and still applying for GP, didn't get anywhere. And then I was really searching, and it was a moment, a really audible voice, just to say that one word.
Wow.
And you heard it, heard him.
Loud. Yeah, it was loud.
Oh, gosh.
And no. I applied for three rotations, got offered two jobs. In 6 weeks, I was...
Wow. So you heard the loud, audible voice of God.
Yes.
Do you know if that was God the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit?
I assume that was God the Father.
Okay, isn't that interesting?
I didn't have authority, but it was... I don't know, that's my assumption.
Yeah, it's your assumption. Well, you know, I've got... a tub of oil out the back there, which is called 3-in-1. And God is 3-in-1. He's one. God is one. I remember going to Egypt and I was standing by the pyramids waiting for the sun to rise so I could take some photographs. And a fellow was standing there and said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. He said, you believe in three gods, don't you? I thought, you haven't quite got it right. So I tried my best to explain. God is one.
That's right.
But he is distinctively three in one. Yes. Don't expect to get your head around it. And this isn't a talk about Trinity, so I'm not going to unpack it any further. But in terms of the audible voice of God, I was working, teaching people to make films in Africa, and there was a pastor from Uganda there. He was really quite a simple man, quite a humble, simple man. And he described how he'd been out in the bush in northern Uganda, which is really bad lands out there. There's a group of people there called the Lord's Resistance Army. Got nothing whatsoever to do with the Lord. You know, I don't find anywhere in my Bible that you're supposed to cut the feet off children who ride bicycles, but they do. So they are a bad lot. And he's walking through the bush, knowing that he's in a trouble spot. And God says to him, "Get down." Now, if God had said to me, "Get down," I'd probably go, "Was that me, Lord, or was that you?" Mm. But the pastor heard the audible voice of God saying, "Get down." Mm. And he got down, and the bullet passed harmlessly through his sleeve. He heard God speak before he heard the gun. In fact, you're never going to hear the gun that kills you, right?
No.
So God saved his life with his audible voice. So God does speak in an audible voice, but usually it's not so much a voice, but an impression or a feeling that we get. So when we're talking about God speaking to us, it's really exceptional. One person in this room's heard the audible voice of God, unless there are others who are sitting on the fact, but it's exceptional. Mm-hmm. But to get an impression in your mind or a feeling that rises up, this sense that God's saying to you, Andy, you know, you should have done something, there's a sense, a perception. So if that's the way God works, can anybody describe what this feeling, this sense, this perception does for us? What does God do with us when we get that feeling?
Peace. Gives us peace.
Gives us peace. Two of you said it at the same time.
He uses our conscience. He uses our conscience.
Okay.
He speaks through that a lot.
Okay. That's interesting. Janet, you were going to add?
He compels me.
Mm-hmm. How does he do that?
You just can't not do what it is.
Okay.
You just get the sense that his love just compels me. To do whatever it is.
So it gets your attention.
Mm.
Very good. Okay. Others, what does this sense of God's presence, these feelings that we get when God is communicating to us?
It's often like a confirmation of things that you wondered if you thought.
Mm.
I think it's like almost like layers of, is this right or is this me? Because I think we hear badly.
Yes.
And I think often it's just that clunk in your spirit where it's, yes, that is right, you did hear.
Clunk in your spirit. It's a message version today.
Scriptures say, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways your ways."
Yeah.
So the question is, when we pray, who do we we're praying? So we're praying to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. So those three all working together.
Yes.
As we pray, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit, we don't pray to Jesus, we pray to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he starts to work in us and for us and through us on behalf of each other. We're all praying for each other. Same power that raised Christ the dead is working in us and for us and through us. You know, we're influencing others. We're influencing heaven on behalf of others.
Mm-hmm.
So remember that we are actually influencing heaven on behalf, you know, heaven is heaven, you know, so that's what we're doing.
So there was that lyric in the song that you were playing, which was, "We echo heaven's," what was
authority.
"We echo heaven's authority." Yes. So prayer, really good prayer, really effective prayer, is when the Holy Spirit gives you a nudge about something to pray for,
yes,
and we then agree with the thunk of God, as Sarah put it, or the clunk of God,
yes,
Clunk, click every trip, Saren. Anybody old enough to remember that? So we agree with heaven. We proclaim what heaven has already said because we've picked it up with a sense or a feeling or something. And that's exercising God's authority. This is how prayer, effective prayer, works. So part of the role of the Holy Spirit, we saw right at the beginning, is to draw us into the presence of God our Father, to remind us that we're his children and that he loves us and that we inherit everything Christ has given to us. So we're to step into what God has given us, and that's the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So Jesus unpacks it a little further, and you touched on this last week, Kai, John 14, 16. "And I will ask the Father," says Jesus, "and he will give you another helper," is one translation. Another translation of that, and there are lots in the Amplified, is comforter. Don't we need comfort? We've been praying for one another today and being the comfort of God to each other. He's our comforter. He is our advocate. When we are accused and we have an enemy who does nothing but accuse because he wants to put God to shame, it's the Holy Spirit who stands up and denounces him because of the blood of Jesus. None of it can stick. No accusation can stick. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He prays for you with groanings. And anybody here got a gift or a ministry of intercession?
Through work, pray for everybody that I visit.
Lovely.
Work with people, those that don't know, with mental health problems. And I always pray for them, either before or straight after the session I've been.
And does God give you what to pray? That's it.
It's a sense of what to pray for, rather than
So we're just agreeing with heaven, right? Caroline, you're a great prayer. Caroline is praying for me over the screenplay book, and I'm so grateful to you, Caroline. And it's a joy, isn't it? You just catch a sense of what God is doing and you pray into it. So we're agreeing with God. Why does God need us like this? Well, he doesn't. But it's our privilege to be caught up in his love for others. It's our privilege to be part of his work, to express his love, which is what we're doing when we pray. So intercessor, the next word is counsellor, advisor. He'll give you the advice you need. Is anybody lack wisdom? Much of the time, let him ask. Let him ask. He is our strengthener. That's another meaning of this word. You were praying this morning, Kai, that God will be our strength. He strengthens us. And he also stands by us. And there are times when we can feel lost and alone and actually not even really close to the presence of God. That's the time we really need the body of Christ. Because when somebody else comes alongside you and stands by you, they're doing the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what you're doing. You're doing the work of the Holy Spirit. So this is the nature of the Holy Spirit. And the Message version has it beautifully, really simply. Jesus says, "I will talk to the Father and he will provide you with another friend." That's just lovely. Yeah, we'll have that. Well, we're called to be friends with God. Who's got Isaiah 41:8, please?
Mike has a 41.
"But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend."
My friend. Who's got Genesis 18:17?
18:17, yes. "Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?"
Yeah. So one of the characteristics of friends is that they reveal themselves to each other. Friends walk together. You go through life together, not just the good times, but with a friend you can hang out how you're really feeling. And Abraham walked in the presence of God just as God had commanded him. The purpose of God's work for us has never changed. Genesis 17:2, God says to Abraham, before he becomes Abraham, he says, "Walk before me and be blameless." I've spoken on this one before, but it doesn't mean, "Oi, Abraham, you walk where I can see you. Don't you put a foot wrong, because you're in trouble if you are." It doesn't mean that. It means, Let's walk together.
Amen.
Face to face, smile to smile, heart to heart. And because I am holy, Abraham, and you are not, inevitably, as you walk with me, inevitably who I am will rub off on you. That's what it means. It's about fellowship and friendship and walking together. It's just simply beautiful. Who's got John 15, 14 to 15?
Yes.
Thank you, John.
You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all these things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you.
Thank you. So God, Holy God calls you his friend. His friend.
Mm.
Isn't that lovely? Not a servant. And we heard earlier, not a slave. Not a slave, not a servant. But a friend. Why? Because we walk together and we share our hearts together. That's God's purpose right back into Genesis. God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. Hasn't changed. And the Greek word, God made us to have fellowship with him. And Kai touched on this again last week. And this one really stuck with me. The Greek word for this friendship, for this fellowship, is koinonia. So to get a sense of what the friendship that God wants for us with him, let's look at that word a little bit. You've already said it today, Kai. It's about partnership. It is about friendship. It's about communion. It's about community, common unity. Right. It's about communication, which means when a gifted communicator shares something that's on their heart in such a way that you get it in exactly the same way they saw it. That's true communication. So koinonia is communion, community, communication, partnership, fellowship. It's intimacy. It is working together for the common good. Beautiful. And that's the connection that God wants with us. And for that, we have to learn to listen to him.
That's right.
We have to learn to do that.
Yeah.
So let's just unpack fellowship a little further. Who's got 1 Corinthians 1:9? Caroline.
God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful.
Yeah. Amen. So God the Father, who has fellowship with you, calls you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus. 2 Corinthians 13:14, please.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Fellowship with God, fellowship with Jesus, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and then some. Who's got Acts 2:42?
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer.
Thank you. So this is linked with the sharing of our lives with one another, the walking out our lives, thick and thin, up and down. Whatever state we're in, we need one another. We're the body of Christ. We need one another.
That's right.
So we are called in the same way as God has fellowship with us. We have somebody's busily messaging you. We're called to have fellowship with one another. Don't settle for a cheap form of that.
That's right.
We've talked about what koinonia means. Partnership, intimacy, communication, community. Communion, all of those things. Who's got 1 John 1:6 to 7?
Me.
Thank you, Vicky.
Leah. Take a deep breath. If little word of life, John used to say, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But, glory to God, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another.
That's it.
The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin.
Thank you. God is light.
That's right.
And in him there is no darkness.
Amen.
And we're called to walk in his light and with one another.
Mm.
And with one another. As it is between you and God, he calls it to be between you and the person sitting next to you. So fellowship with God involves a number of things. It involves worship and prayer. And by worship and prayer, we draw close. It involves obedience, by which we walk on the same path as God.
Mm.
If we're disobedient, we're walking on a different path, and we will draw apart, inevitably. It's simple, right? And Galatians 5:25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In step, one step at a time.
That's right.
So folks, don't need to say this to anybody in the room. If this was it, if this is your time with God for the week, you're not keeping in step with him for the rest of the week. If your time with God is half an hour in the morning or 10 minutes in the morning, your quiet time, that is not step by step with the Holy Spirit, is it?
So good.
Okay, we need more than that, even in our busyness, even in our conversations with other people, even in our work, we still need to be in constant touch with God, which is why the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That's where I pray in the mornings, but he doesn't live there. He lives inside me. So the effect of fellowship, of doing these things, of worship, prayer, obedience, the effect of it is going to be intimacy, which is the reason why God made you and put you on this earth. The effect of it is going to be transformation, which is where we are changed to be like him. By spending time with him, walk before me and you will be blameless. The effect of fellowship with God is going to be service, which is where our love for God overflows in acts of love to the body of Christ and beyond the body of Christ. Beyond the body of Christ. Inside and outside. And the aim of all of that is to repeat this process. So that what we're doing is we are leaking Jesus to one another. We are leaking Jesus to this world. And in as much as I'm able to leak something of Jesus to you today, that will help you with that process of intimacy and transformation. And what comes alive in you, you then leak to somebody else. So we're called to be agents of transformation in this world. And it comes from intimacy with God. It's the only way. It can happen. It's not knowledge, not in that sense. It's knowledge in a very different sense. Who's got Philippians 2:1-2, please? Thank you.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye my like-minded have having some the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
With a beautiful accent.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. So the intimacy in the Godhead into which you are called in Christ, each of us is called in Christ, is the intimacy God wants in the body of Christ because we're inseparable. It's a body. It's not a dismembered corpse. It's a body, sorry. And actually what God wants for this entire world is that the Garden of Eden spreads to cover the entire earth, that the body of Christ spreads to cover the entire earth with the same love and the same intimacy. How does that happen? By giving our love away, by giving our treasure away, by giving Jesus away.
We need to be able to hear the nudges and the prompts of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's important. When to send a text or when to give somebody a phone call or so forth.
Yeah, lovely. So, intimacy with God. We are made in his image. Genesis 1:27. So that we could be in relationship. and the nature of that relationship. And I know I've preached on this before, so forgive me for saying what I've said in the past, but I'm really fired up about it still. When God talks about knowing him, in the Hebrew, the word is yada. Don't think yada, yada, yada. That's a horrendous distortion. The word is yada, which means to know intimately, to be known by intimately, to open yourself up so that another can know you, and that other opens themselves up to you so that you can know them. And the word is identical to the word used for Adam knew Eve. The word is exactly the same. Now, I'm not being crazy about this and talking about sex. I'm not. I'm talking about intimacy. So marriage is only a shadow of what God has for his people. And we know that we are the bride of Christ. And one day he'll come back for us. In Greek, the word is different because it's Greek, it's not Hebrew, but the word is gnosko. And it means exactly the same. So when you read the word know, bless you, in Greek,
sorry,
it's probably gnosko, which is about intimate knowledge, about knowing and being known. Don't settle for anything less. So Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, and I've harped on about this one a lot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
Lean not on your own understanding. Don't rely on yourself to work it out. In all of your ways, what?
Acknowledge.
Knowledge.
No. Thank you very much. It's usually translated acknowledge, which to my mind is like, oh yeah, I see. Or submit, which is, oh, good grief, okay, have your way. The word is yada. In all your ways, let yourself be known by the one who made you and who loves you. Don't hide in the shadows. Don't do what Adam and Eve did. They hid from the face of God in the garden. Don't do that. And if you need forgiveness, come out of the shadows and get it. But in all of your ways, let yourself be known by him. And in all of your heart, seek to know him with the same passion Jacob has when he says, I will not let you go until you bless me.
Come on.
Know him and he will make your path straight. What does that mean? It means you'll walk with God on the roads that he's set for you. Comes from intimacy. This word know is intimacy.
That's right.
Yada, koinonia, fellowship. So let's get really practical. Friends talk together, and we're called to be friends of God. Andy, you're a friend of God.
Yeah.
So how do we hear the voice of God who does not speak out loud and who is invisible?
He's not always invisible.
Okay.
I can remember on an occasion at there was a very powerful Messianic worship service in London. And one of the very few times this has happened to me is wide awake vision of Jesus standing up off the throne and smiling at me.
Oh,
actually yeah. Seeing
me.
Mm. It's indescribable. So he speaks without words as well. You do see him sometimes. Mm. Not very often.
That's beautiful.
It's incredible. I can still see him now.
Well, of course you can. You'll never forget that, Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and you'll never forget hearing the audible voice of God. But these are rarities.
Yeah.
These are rarities. Yeah. You know, the day will come when they're not rare.
Mm.
Come on. But they are rare. So, here's an even bigger question. How can we tell God's voice from our own? Because we've got all kinds of stuff going around in here, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of thoughts and ideas. How do we tell God's voice from our own? When I sense his presence, when I worship, so I feel him, and I sense God with me, and as I've set myself this task of trying to learn 100 passages of scripture, I'm not very good at it.
Super good at it.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. But what I'm finding when I'm doing that, which I never thought would, I didn't imagine, Jesus is the Word of God. He is with me.
Yeah.
I'm packing His Word. And it's bringing a peace to that part of my spirit. I don't know what I'm talking about, okay? Just there, when I'm going over these verses and I'm remembering them back to Him and thanking Him for them, they are coming alive to me, just there, with peace. And it's the Word, that's Jesus, because He's the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, the words are coming out of my mouth, but He's speaking to me. You following me? Mm. This is weird stuff, I know. And He's bringing to life bits of Scripture. And sometimes He says, oh, look at the meaning of that word. Oh, look at that one. And I think, what does that mean? So I go back to the Greek and the Hebrew, and it's just a delight.
Mm.
And I pray it back to Him. So that's, you know, often when you read the Bible and bits of it light up to you, like a highlighter pen has been put over it, is that the Holy Spirit or is that Jesus? I would have said in the past the Holy Spirit, I'm beginning to wonder. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, but we should expect that to happen. Sometimes I get words forming in my mind. Okay, I don't think them up. They rise up. And they're often like little headlines on a newspaper, two or three words. You're getting some nods of recognition here, yes? They just come up and you think, is that you, Lord, or is that me? And if there's a chance it might be God, what I immediately do is I say it back to Him. And if that's you, Lord, could you unpack it? Show me what you want to say. And then He begins to talk, if we give Him the space, if we give Him the attention, the focus, the time. So how did I know that was God? Because He continued to speak into it.
This is meditation, isn't it? And we're told to meditate.
Yeah, and part of meditation is don't let this word, book of the law, depart from your lips.
Yes.
So part of our meditation is out loud speaking the word of God, proclaiming it. So this, this is strange stuff, right? But I find myself thinking in words, pictures, and feelings. And these rise to the surface of my mind. And then I observe the pictures or the feelings, if you can observe a feeling. And then I think about them, and then I meditate on them. I don't want to get too complicated. You know, people talk about left brain and right brain.
Mm.
And at that point, the psychologists go, no, 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 that's completely discredited, right? Sorry, psychiatrists. No, stop. You're very old-fashioned here. But I understand it that you have something called System 1 thinking and System 2 thinking. Is this right, Anne?
You carry on.
Okay. You can correct me later. But essentially, it's not one half of your brain is creative and the other half is rational. Okay, your brain doesn't work like that. It's all over the place and it's all talking to itself. But there's a part of us where it just surfaces. You don't think it up, it rises up. And for me, that's where the prophetic is. For others, it might be different. But for me, that's where God speaks. That's where I sense the presence of God. That's where I get pictures. I don't make them happen, they just happen. But then I go, what was that? That's interesting, and that's my System 2 thinking coming in. And it goes, okay, let's have a look at that. Let's understand that. What does that mean? What can I learn from that, Lord? And so the two of them work together, and then you begin, what was subterranean, what was hidden, what was buried, comes to the surface where you can look at it. You then reflect it back to God. God then speaks even more into it, and the whole thing comes alive. But how do we know it's God's voice and not our own? What's the difference? How do I know it's God and not just my imagination? That this is coming from God's Spirit and not just my flesh? And I think what I'm about to say, I hope will be really helpful. The Bible talks about flesh. And it doesn't mean this stuff, this pink pudgy stuff, okay? Flesh and blood. The Greek word for flesh is sarx. And the best way, and it's sometimes translated sinful nature. But I think the way I can get my head around it, the way I try to understand what this actually means, is flesh is your animal instinct. It's the part of me which is fearful and wants to push away the threat. It's the part of me which says, I'm having that, and wants to take that. It's fear and it's greed. Mm. And to that, we need to add a third element, which is pride. Mm. Okay? If what's coming into my mind and my heart is about fear, greed, or pride, it ain't God. Mm. It's me. Mm. Okay? It's me. I might wake up fearful, but I can bring that to the Lord and then he'll speak into it. But he didn't put the fear in me. Mm. So from our flesh comes all of this kind of stuff. And that is not the voice of God. The voice of God is like the fruits of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's all good things. It's positive. It's never negative. And if we get a sense that God may be saying something to us which is a little odd, it doesn't mean it isn't God. It does mean we have to check it out. Yeah. How do we check it out? Not just by the fact that I feel it. That isn't enough. Check it out in prayer. Go straight back to God. Say, God, I think you might be saying this. Is that you? And if that's you, Lord, I need confirmation.
Yes, confirmation.
Give me confirmation, please. Where do we get confirmation from? The Holy Spirit over time. The Word of God. Mm. It'll never... Yeah. Do you want to say anything else, Janet?
No, just line it up.
Line it up with the Word of God. If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, that was not from God. Mm. And then the third thing we can do is we just sound out with somebody else. Check it out with them.
That's right.
And if it's a directional word, you feel God is saying something to you, which will change the course of what you're doing, check it out with your leaders. Mm-hmm. We need one another. Mm-hmm. We need each other. So there are all kinds of ways of checking. But God's Holy Spirit brings joy. He brings peace.
Quite lovely things.
He brings unity. Yeah. And all of those things, it should have the characteristic of those things. Do you want to go by, Andrea? And if it's a word for other people, it needs to be encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel that God's given you a word for somebody else which is directional or a little bit heavy, check it out with one of your leaders. Do not give it to that person directly. It doesn't mean it's wrong.
Mm.
It does mean that there are consequences for saying that word.
Mm.
So check it out with somebody else. Mm. And I want to say, be careful. In California in the early 1970s, Herbert Mullin believed that God was telling him that he required human sacrifices to prevent a catastrophic earthquake. Mullin went on to kill 13 people. In 1997, also in California, where else? Two leaders of a religious group called the Gatekeepers claimed to hear God's voice telling them that they had to kill a member who left the church. Well, they drove all the way from California to Washington to carry out the crime. And God confirmed it by giving 7 rainbows, so they knew it was right. And they went and they killed this other church member. Now, I'm not saying that to put fear in anybody. I'm saying it because not so that we are fearful, but so that we are careful. We need to check what God is saying. Is it consistent with his character? Is it consistent with his word? Does it pass scrutiny with the body of Christ?
Yeah.
Check it out. And if God's telling you to assassinate people who leave the church, you probably misheard it.
That's the God of Islam.
So we're talking about, and I'm bringing this into land now, we're talking about God guiding us by the Holy Spirit, saying that his voice is not always clearly distinguishable from the Father and the Son, and it doesn't matter because God's 3 in 1. Okay? We're also saying his word isn't always distinguishable from our own. Because the process, for me anyway, is what, when God speaks to me, it surfaces to my mind in exactly the same way as inspirational thoughts.
Hmm.
How do I know it's me or God? Well, I take it straight to the Father. So we do have to check. We do have to be careful in what we're doing. So how do we draw close to God, get into his presence so that we can listen to him? The first thing is I need to lift my eyes off myself, particularly if I'm waking up, and this often happens to me in the morning, from a fearful dream, which I don't have any control over what I dream, but I can deal with it when I'm awake. I then get my eyes off the way I feel and the way it's made me feel, or if something bad has happened, it's just made me feel bad, I get my eyes off me and off the circumstances and onto the Lord.
Mm.
I worship him. So I've lifted my eyes to him. Lord, I need you. And then I lift my heart to him in worship and prayer. I enter his gates with thanksgiving and I enter his courts with praise. And then I'm lifted out of the presence of my flesh and into the presence of my God. And we're invited by him as his children to live minute by minute, moment by moment,
mm-hmm.
in close fellowship, koinonia, with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Partners with him, walking in that flow with him as we practice the presence of God. And then, because he anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. If my cup is overflowing, it's not for me, is it?
That's right.
I've already had my fill.
Mm-hmm.
If my cup overflows, it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we then give it away. We give away what God has given us. Who's got Ephesians 1:17, please?
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
Amen. Or my translation says, so that you may know him better. Ginosko, so that you may become forever more intimately acquainted with him. It's never about this stuff. It's always about heart.
Amen.
With him. Now, I know I've whittled on a bit, but I would just love to ground it. And what will ground it the best is what comes out of you, not what comes out of me. So can we just in pairs, please, just share anything that you felt the Lord highlighted for you this morning, because that is his word to you, or anything you felt the Lord's highlighted to you recently. Can we just do that in pairs with one another? So how do we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Well, we don't get hung up on who it is that's speaking, Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. God is one. And God is always speaking. So, you know, this is easy, folks. The challenge is to discern whether that's God or whether that's come from somewhere else. Because God speaks through our minds in the same way that other thoughts rise in our minds. Was it me or was it you, God? Was it an enemy? And the key characteristic is if God is love, God is uplifting. God is full of joy. God is your Father and you are his child, and he will only give you good things.
Amen.
If that voice that you hear doesn't have that characteristic, it probably isn't God. But if you need to check it out, check it out. Go straight to the Father with it. Check it out with the Word of God. Check it out with your leaders. But expect to be a child of God, listening to your Father in heaven, who just wants to walk with you,
right,
step by step, with his smile upon you and his heart turned towards you, sharing what he has with you to bring you fully into the inheritance you have in Christ, so that you can be an encourager to somebody else and an agent of transformation in their lives too. So expect to hear his voice. And wouldn't it be great if next week, when we get together, you can share something fresh that the Lord said to you this week, because he's speaking to you clearly. So we need to give him our space, our undivided attention. Psalm 46:10 says, who knows it?
Be still and know that I am God.
Well done.
And I will be exalted among the nations.
Yes. So in order to know, we have to focus on him. Get rid of the background noise. Shut our eyes, because most of our brain is handling visual signals, which is why we shut our eyes when we pray. Be still and know that I am God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.